Now, the first time that 1 Corinthians 15 became a real, alive word to me, everybody has a different impact in different areas of the word where God will impact your life and it'll make something alive. And at a certain point, something is said or something really transforms the word and it makes it real to you. Gina was doing a funeral, and I don't even remember who it was, but I was there. And I remember we were in a city, and he had asked me to kind of be an assistant if I needed to have him as my helper. And so I was trying to be the helper that he had asked me to be. And I can remember he did the message on resurrection. And when you and I look at the word, and we see a word from the Lord impact somebody's life, that word begins to reverberate in them, and it echoes. And it goes back, and it does more work, and it does more work, and it does more work. And you can be in the midst of washing dishes, or doing some chores, or you know, putting a wall together, or whatever. I mean, you could be just driving down the road, and that word just comes right back at you, and it just goes a little deeper and a little deeper. And on that particular day, there was an anointing on Gino, and he was my old pastor, for those of you who don't know him. He's gone to be with Jesus now, but he didn't preach from the word. He preached from his life experience about resurrection and about the reality of being resurrected from his deadly walk with the flesh, with the alive walk with the Spirit. And how he presented it, I could never duplicate it. I wouldn't want to even try, because it was the Lord was preaching through him. And it went inside. You know, when a word goes in you, it then has an opportunity to be remolded, readjusted, to fit your particular life. And I have a 24-year-old grandson who's been going through a real dying experience. And he was at the house over the weekend. And we were downstairs in my office area. And I don't even know how it came out, but we talked about resurrection. And, oh, I do know how it came out. I happened to pull out the book from my trip to Israel. And he got nosy and wanted to know what the tomb is like. I said, well, I have a picture of a, you know, garden tomb. And so I opened up the book and began to unfold this. And he says, well, what's so different about this tomb? I said, well, there's no body in it. I said, Jesus resurrected. Well, it impacted him. And I saw the jolt on his face. And I remembered my jolt of the reality. You're looking at a dead body. It's a seed going into the ground. It's no big deal for God. Now, when I was a boy, my father would definitely pick out all the different types of things that were going to be planted in the different fields. And obviously, I was part of that. And the seed doesn't always look like the plant that's coming out of the ground. If you plant a garden, I mean, there are some of those little seeds that look like absolutely nothing. You being a lady who plants flowers, I mean, some of those little seeds look like a piece of dirt. And you put them in the ground and you water them, and what happens? Right. So what you get is not what you put in. Okay? Verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. So Paul is really pushing the buttons into the Corinthians. Wake up. Okay? More than that, verse 15, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. So in other words, he's really trying to get them to awaken to the truth that resurrection is part of who you are. It's already established in you. Resurrection and its seeds are alive in you right now. Verse 16, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, our faith, or your faith, is futile. You are still in your sins. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Now pay attention to this part. Those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. You went to a funeral today. And if you don't believe in the resurrection, that person is completely lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Now that's pretty heavy. Amen? But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The next part, pay attention. The first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. He's the first to come out of the grave. Amen? For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn. Christ the first fruit. Then, when he comes, those who belong to him... Did you get that? When he comes, those who belong to him... Well, what happens? When he shows up? Yeah. Get ready. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom of God to the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. But when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who puts everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him, who has put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Now get ready, bolt down your seat belts. 29. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? Yeah. How many of you have ever conceived that you could be baptized for a dead person? Told you to tie your seatbelt on it. Intercession can go a lot deeper than most people want to touch. Taking the place of someone else can go a lot deeper if you're instructed to do. If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? Why does he say it twice?
Confirming it.
The Holy Spirit is trying to shake you and me that we think we can intercede at one level. St. Paul here is giving you a whole new level. And I wouldn't suggest that you go get yourself baptized for somebody that's dead. That's not what I'm saying. But it was being done.
The early church did it.
Because the church was obedient to the instructions of the Father. This was not a religious ritual. They were concerned about those who had gone before them. They had a heart to pick them up. Verse 30. And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I die every day. I mean that, brothers, just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained if the dead are not raised? So resurrection was one of the reasons why Paul fought for life. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought, and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as He has determined to each kind of seed. He gives it its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh. Animals have another. Birds another. Fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is of one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is of another. The sun has his own kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and the stars differ from star to star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. In other words, you're not going to walk into the graveyard with instructions to raise people from the dead and expect everyone to come out looking the same. Do you ever feel sorry after you lose somebody that you really love? I mean, self-pity came on me one day. It was really a horrible day. It was my dad's grave site that I was going to. And I didn't want to go. I had an attitude about it. I was hoping I could give the responsibility to somebody else. But there was no other son. No other daughter. So guess who was elected? Yours truly. His body had been in the ground a year. It was Father's Day. And I was on a lonely trip all by myself. Didn't want to go. I had my Bible in the front seat of the car, and I had a floral arrangement in the trunk. I didn't want to get out of the car. I didn't want to climb the hill. I didn't want anything to do with that cemetery. I wanted to run. The Holy Spirit showed up because I started praying in tongues because I could feel my energy levels just zipping and zapping down and down and down. And There's a weeping trying to come up, and I knew if I let my soul take over, I probably would never make it up the hill, and the plant would stay in the trunk. And then I'd be in trouble with Mom. And she was very much alive. So she would definitely give me a few clues as to what I was supposed to do that day. Come on, please tell me an amen, somebody.
Amen.
Have you ever visited that place where I was talking about?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, I'm walking up the hill and I hear the Holy Spirit say, you're dying to yourself and you're feeling sorry for yourself because you're focused on what's in the ground. And I had instant recall of Gino's message on 1 Corinthians 15. What you put into the ground isn't what's going to come out. So it gave me a different vision. Instead of feeling sorry for myself, it started to lift the confusion. It started to disintegrate a little bit. So I got to the top of the little hill and laid the plant down, and being a very good Catholic little boy, I wanted to kneel down and pray, and the Lord said no. Mm-hmm. He said, go back in your car and sit. So I went back down the hill. I'm praying in the Spirit, and I'm trying to keep my brains out of it because my brains are very fuzzy. My soul is definitely wanting to rule and reign. My body's in war. Sat in the car, and as I'm praying, the Holy Spirit said, write. So I had my pad. I have no clue what's going to come out. All I heard was, write. How many know that your hand can write faster than your brain can think? I wrote a message that I'll never forget. Start preparing now for His resurrection day and you'll get happy real quick. It jolted hell right out of the picture. It jolted hell out of me. It jolted the self-pity immediately away. It put a smile on my eyes and on my face. I was so grateful to the Lord that day. Because when I drove out of the cemetery, the new creation man was full of joy. And I said, should I be a part of that generation where death will be beneath my feet? Should I be that chosen generation? I will act upon it as you tell me to, Lord. And I promise you, I will not let self-pity come back into my heart. And I haven't. I've gone back to the cemetery many times, year after year. But I always remember, is this the day? Is this the time for the resurrection to be coming to life? Are you preparing for a cemetery party? Or are you preparing to meet those that are in the grave when you lay down your body? I don't know His plan for you. But I'd much rather concentrate on the resurrection day than the burial day. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. Verse 43. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth, and as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. There's your trumpet. And this guy confirms my message because he tells me he went to a funeral today. And I said, Lord, this is a message for funerals. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised, imperishable. And we will be changed. Come on. Try it on. I will be changed. From the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable. And the mortal with immortality. Did you hear that? Every part of me that is mortal has to put on the immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory.
Thank you, Lord.
Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks to be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I remind you, when that staff was standing, I was aware that that snake was being swallowed up. And this is the message. Death will be swallowed up by the Lord. And He's going to use you to do it. Oh, boy. That felt like a bomb. Phew! Come on. Take a step of faith with me. Say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I'm willing to be used.
I'm willing to be used.
To help you swallow up death.
To help you swallow up death.
And the imperishable.
And the imperishable.
Is being put on right now.
Is being put on.
And the immortal.
The immortal.
Is being put on right now.
Is being put on.
I'm not going to wait.
I'm going
to wear it now.
I'm going to wear it now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
You got it.